Hello and welcome to the Fingal Business Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Fingal, one of 31 local enterprise offices around the country. Local Enterprise Office Fingal helps local business through a wide range of practical initiatives and programs. The LEO is your first-stop shop for business supports. So whether you're just starting out or an established business, Local Enterprise Office Fingal is here to help. The aim of the Fingal Business Podcast is to share quality information for small business owner managers to enable you to be more effective in running a successful enterprise. My name is Sharon Rossignuolo, and I'll be chatting to industry experts so that you can get the best advice to help you to succeed in your business. In this episode, I am delighted to be joined by Jean Mahoney of Hope Beer as she shares the story of starting a brewery and her advice and tips on building a recognizable brand and a successful business. So Jean Mahoney from Hope Beer, you are very, very welcome to the Fingal Business Podcast.
Thank you, Sharon, and lovely to be here with you today.
So I'm really excited about this one. Of course, when we think of beer and summer, and particularly put Hope in front of the name, especially this summer, it gives us extra joy. So tell us, what inspired you to create Hope Beer?
Well, Sharon, first of all, just for people who are listening, Hope Beer is a small brewery based in Kilbarrick on the north side of Dublin, and we're about to celebrate our fifth birthday. So on June 16th, it'll be 5 years since we brewed our first beer. The business, in fact, started at the end of 2015, so it's a little bit older than that. But to be honest, the inspirations for that business go back many, many years. One of my co-founders and my husband, Wim de Jong, is a Dutchman. I lived in Holland for 8 or 9 years. Together, we moved to Switzerland with a young family for another 4 or 5 years. So I spent a lot of my 20s and 30s on the continent. And one of the things that I noticed and that we noticed was all these small breweries. They were everywhere, typically supported by the local people. Lots of small villages and towns would have a number of breweries. And when I left Ireland, that was simply not the case here. The whole craft brewing scene in Ireland hadn't started then. So we were struck with that. A town we lived in Switzerland called Burgdorf, it was a very small rural area. They had a small brewery, but all the locals were shareholders. And this was well before BrewDog and crowdfunding. Mm-hmm. And we were really struck with this as a business idea. And when we came back to live in Ireland, I suppose we took that idea with us, but the timing just wasn't right. And, you know, in thinking about looking back over the journey of the business, I think timing is such an important word for people who are starting out. It took us a while, many years, before we had an opportunity to actually put that, let's say, long-term inspiration into practice. But ultimately, it was our co-founder and very good friend, Paul Rittigo, another Dutchman. He had a brewery in the Netherlands at the time. And he had been talking to us for a long time about doing something like this here in Dublin. Mm-hmm. So we were just waiting for the time to be right. But if I told you that we talked about it for years, I'm not exaggerating. And finally, we actually said, look, let's do a feasibility study and let's see, is this something we're going to go forward with or are we going to park it forever? And so, yeah, I'd love to tell you there was a eureka moment, Sharon, but there was probably many moments.
It's amazing. There, so many of us really talk about, oh, wouldn't that make a great business idea? But then the proof is in the pudding. Actually go and do something. And as you say, feasibility study. Could this actually work?
Yeah.
Even in itself, that's a great advice or a great tip.
Well, we actually availed of a feasibility study grant from the local enterprise office in Fingal to do that initial work. And that was really the main catalyst, because when we completed that work, we discovered nothing to put us off. And it was at that point we said, okay, we're going to start this journey. We're going to go for it now. So that allowed us to do the in-depth research that you really need to do. Because I think we're all inclined to say, yeah, that's a great business idea. I'll ask my family and friends what they think about it. And they all say, God, that is a marvelous idea. Off you go and off you go. And you discover, actually, that's not such a good idea. I think doing a formal feasibility study is a really good starting point.
So, Jean, the next question I want to ask, I suppose it's such a specific business, beer. There's so much involved in it, from sourcing ingredients, making the product, marketing it, selling it. It's not for the faint-hearted. So in those early days, what were the main areas you focused on to get the business off the ground?
We're a team, so we all bring slightly different strengths to the table. So we all have a business or a commercial background. But myself and Des McSwiggan, one of my partners, would be much more focused on sales and marketing, let's say, mm-hmm. whereas Wim is the numbers man and he's much more focused on the finances. So while I am going to tell you now, Sharon, that we focused on products and marketing and our brand, if Wim was here, he'd say, I didn't realize any of that was going on. I was focused on cash flow. Did we have enough money to pay the bills? were we making sure that we were getting paid on time? He used to say to Des and I, we'd come in with a great sale, you know, that we had just opened a new account, and he'd say to us, until the bill is paid, that's actually a gift you've given those people. So there was, you know, we were very lucky that there was a group of us with different strengths. We started out. We didn't really realize that until we got going. But I would say our focus, first of all, was on the product. And I think anyone in the food and drink space, particularly in Ireland at the moment, because there's so many wonderful products out there, mm-hmm. if you don't have a damn good product, you're wasting your time, because consumers are very savvy. They know if something is good quality. So we were very focused on the product. But you'll appreciate, to build a brewery from scratch is a very capital intensive activity, but it's also a time consuming activity. So for the first 9 or 10 months of Hope Beer, we actually used another brewery to brew our product for us. And that's quite a common thing in our industry. They refer to it as Bipsy brewing or contract brewing. So we got 3 products out on the market immediately while we were waiting the 9 or 10 months to actually physically get our premises, knock down our walls, put in our floors, install our brewery and all that stuff. So that actually worked very much in our favor, because it meant we had something to sell. So we had to develop our brand. We had to develop our packaging. We had to go out into the market and cold call and say, hi, here we are, and we make great beer, or we have a great beer and we have a great product. Would you like to buy it? And of course, anyone who's done cold calling will know it's the best way to learn, because it's only when you eyeball a fella that you actually realize whether they really like your product, or they might say, you know what, that's not the product I'm after, but maybe if you tweak it this way or that way. And so you actually learn a lot from that cold calling. So in answer to your question, I would say we focus very much on our developing our brand, our packaging, our product. So by the time we got to brew at Hope Junction, in actual fact, we had done a lot of refinements of the initial liquid. You know, I'm sure the beers were fine when we started, but they certainly got a lot better as we went on. You know, the quality got a lot better as we went on. But then also that cash flow piece, I think that's such an important thing. You know, we have grown our business out of cash flow. Now, we've also benefited from support from Fingal Local Enterprise Office. We've availed of capital grants and employment grants, but we have really minded our pennies very, very carefully. And I think that's why we have kind of such a solid business now.
Yeah, and that's the thing that, you know, you mentioned there, having such a strong team, having the different strengths. And that's the difficulty, particularly when someone is starting out on their own, that they don't have that luxury of having different people. And you do need to bring them in, whether it's a good accountant, whether it's a good marketeer, whatever it is, and have them as part of your team, create the team.
100%. I think a lot of people who start businesses, they start on their own, or maybe with a buddy with a very similar skill base. I think the finance piece is often missing in startups.
Absolutely.
I mean, even in our own industry, like the microbreweries tend to grow from a fella who starts out home brewing, is a very good brewer and a passionate brewer, and develops his hobby into a business. Mm-hmm. But a guy typically who's good at that end may not be good at the numbers, at the finances. Yeah. So from the get-go, we were really, really committed to developing a really strong business as well as creating great beer, you know. So I think anyone on their own, you know, they might know somebody who's an accountant, or they might have their brother's mate's cousin or something who's even, you know, a trainee accountant. You don't need, you know, Coopers and Lybrand or whatever they're currently called to come in at the onset, but you do need to focus on cash flow, because my goodness, that will get away from you if you're not paying attention.
Exactly. It's the one thing that will sink your business. You know, you can have an excellent, everything else is great, fantastic products, but it's the one thing that will just sink it to the bottom. So true. Looking back at those early days, I hear you talking about cold calling. God, even the sound, the word, the phrase makes me go cold. So when you look back on those early days, what were the greatest challenges at the time and how did you overcome them?
So I think we started out with a 33cl bottle. So basically, you can buy craft beer in either a bottle or a can. Mm-hmm. In the bottles, you can have either a 500ml bottle or a 330ml bottle. At the time, all the bottles in Ireland, there was very little cans at the time, with one or two exceptions that were putting beer into cans. I mean, nowadays it's all cans. It's a 440ml can. But at the time, it was half litre, 500ml bottles. And we decided to go for a 330ml bottle because we were always committed from the get-go to the restaurant segment. So we wanted our beer to be positioned where food was served. So Hope Beer as an excellent accompaniment to food, particularly in the restaurant environment. So you might see a menu, if I think of Deep, no longer there, a wonderful seafood restaurant down in Howth, they would actually have their menu matched off to our beer. So you could select a different beer, go with whatever course you were having. But that was kind of the space that we wanted to be in. Restaurateurs have a preference for that smaller 33cl bottle. However, in retail, it was a busted flush. It was finished. So off we set, car loaded, off we go to sell this wonderful 33cl bottle that nobody wanted. If we were doing it again, you know, and it was really a challenge for us, we would have maybe paid more attention to that particular piece, because we invested in a bottling line. And bottling lines, you don't just twiddle the knobs and change the format. If you buy a bottling line to fill 33cl bottles, that's it. You can't just decide then next week they're going to be 500ml bottles. It doesn't work like that. It's a separate line. It's a separate investment. So, you know, that was a huge challenge for us, the packaging format. And actually, you know, we struggled with that for a long time. So that was one thing. The other thing was we didn't have a distributor, and we probably didn't try hard enough to get a distributor. We kind of thought, I think we were probably very naive. You know, I don't know what we thought looking back, you know, but I think we just thought, you know, let's make it and get it out there. We were doing mostly our own distribution, our own sales, our own deliveries. And, you know, that was very, very challenging at the start. In retrospect, we probably learned a lot because we threw ourselves straight into the front line. So we were exposed to every single account and every single issue. And now that we have a really good distributor at the moment, Northeast, but because we'd gone through it all ourselves, I think we've a much greater appreciation of, you know, the job of work they have to sell our brand now as well. But yeah, there are definitely two things that stand out, Sharon. The lack of a distributor and that packaging format. So, you know, for the startups or the wannabe startups out there, I would say, you know, that piece is very important. If you're going to sell a product, make sure it's in a format that people want to buy it in. You know, that's maybe an obvious thing, but...
Not really, because when you're starting out, I think you're all about the product. And as you said, you may be family and friends and it's all working fine. But then further on, there's, you know, thinking big, looking at the bigger picture and perhaps going back to what you were saying with WIM and the numbers, etc. Okay, realistically, is this going to be feasible in 6, yeah. 9, 12 months? What's going to make the money for us? What's going to keep the cash flowing? So really excellent points and excellent advice. So you mentioned before, Jean, you had a whole experience, obviously, before Hope Pure, all of you did.
Yeah.
So what skills, and in particular, I suppose, people who start out in business, they often come from different backgrounds and they don't have necessarily the business skill, but they do have strengths that they can adapt. So what skills or strengths were of benefit to you in those early days? And what skills have you worked hard on to develop as the business has grown?
I think the three of us that are here running the business in Dublin all have a commercial background. Okay, so we all have MBAs, which are well past their sell-by date by now. I can tell you they're gathering dust. But we did have that education background, let's say. And the three of us had a lot of experience in business. So I had my own business development company, a small consultancy in Holland in the early 1990s. Bim has run some pretty big companies throughout Europe in his earlier career. And Des also had a very strong commercial background. So the business bit, if you like, and understanding the strands within the business, from finance to marketing, even to HR, and we're a very small team, but you know, you still need to have happy employees. So all those pieces and how they fit it together, strategic thinking, if you like, planning, we have that experience. And I think that has actually really helped us. Even things like, you know, payments, you know, we would be very conscious about paying our suppliers on time, because we want to build a reputation as being a solid business that pays people on time. You know, small things like that. We would have had that kind of experience in our previous lives. But I can tell you the big missing thing that we've had to work so hard on, and that was the marketing piece. So, as you know, we are a kind of, somebody referred to us once many years ago, shortly after we'd started the business. It was actually a student from UCD who came in to do some work experience. And he said, yeah, Jean, he said, we refer to you as like a silver startup, i.e. because we're all old. I've heard the term before, this silver startup. But let's face it, we all in our 50s are not typical of the kind of the startup scene in Ireland or anywhere probably. And there are advantages to that. And that business experience that I just mentioned is a key advantage. But the disadvantage, of course, was the whole digital marketing world. So the last time we wore marketing hats, I mean, we didn't even have mobile phones, you know. So we really had to get going on that piece. So I did, the local enterprise office does a diploma in digital marketing, which I did, mm-hmm. and various other courses in that space, from Facebook marketing to, you know, Twitter to, I mean, all those wonderful things that, oh, who's the trainer that you have in the local enterprise office? Noel Davidson. Noel did a lot of those courses and various other guest teachers. And mm-hmm. again, I don't want to be overly kind of pushing the local enterprise office, but the quality of the teachers that come into those courses is excellent. You just won't get better teachers. The cost of the courses is heavily subsidized. You know, I would really, really recommend people get out there and do as many courses as you can. But, you know, having said that, Sharon, digital marketing does not come naturally to any of us in the team. And I think the marketing of our brand suffered because of that. And we have upskilled. I mean, I have really, really tried hard with the, you know, to get as much skill on board as I can. But, you know, when I look at the young people now, like people in their 20s and 30s, you know, new brands starting out, how they market those brands, it comes naturally to them. So since last year, we have now got a part-time marketing manager. And I can tell you that that has made a massive change to us. You know, stuff is getting done. Our social media channels are minded and nurtured a lot better than they were when I was doing it. And that was certainly a big gap for us and something that we had to work hard to improve on. But yeah, I mean, the courses are out there for people. So
exactly. And I think in particular as well, as you said, the Leo Fingal courses in particular, they are excellent. I would often say this to people, that perhaps they expect, because they don't cost much, oh, maybe they're not good quality. Actually, as you said, they're heavily, heavily subsidized. These are high class consultants, yeah. high class trainers who are coming in. It's the same knowledge that you will get in another course where you might have to spend over $1,000. And, yeah. and I know that 100%. Because I've done both types.
Yeah, so yeah. 100%. The quality of the instructors. I have never been to a local enterprise office course, and I have been to many of them and not come away thinking, God, that was really a day well spent or an afternoon well spent. And by the way, there are also great networking opportunities. I mean, you're going to sit in a room with other small business owners, and it's amazing what can spring out of those little rooms upstairs in the Fingal office in Sores. And you just don't know the connections that you might make. So that's a real recommendation.
Yeah, 100%. And even just that sense of network as well, that you're all in it together and moving forward, it gives that momentum. And it's always good to keep in touch with people, because you never know how things are going to land. So that leads me nicely to my next question. How important has networking and the local community been as you've worked to grow the brand?
Yeah, I did a lot of networking in the beginning, Sharon. I'd say for the first 3 years of the business, I really tried hard and got involved in a lot of events and courses. But it is actually very time consuming. And I find that I used to do a lot of it at the beginning, and the lads did a certain amount of it. But, you know, you're working damn hard on building the business. And our business is not a Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. I mean, we would do a lot of weekend events, obviously not during COVID, but please God, they're all going to come back now very soon. You could be working Monday to Friday, and then you could be doing a beer festival at the weekend, or you could be doing an in-store tasting, or we also do brewery tours. I could be hosting a brewery tour on a Saturday afternoon. So in the beginning, you go at it hell for leather, and you just, it's a 24/7 occupation. And, you know, and that's as it should be, because I have to be honest, if anyone thinks they're going to build a business while sitting looking at the belly and their feet up, that ain't going to happen. So I think, you know, you've got to do that, certainly for the first few years. And it was really important at the start, I would say. Whereas now I feel we maybe don't devote as much time to it, and maybe we should, but I think we just, the nature of the beast, you kind of run out of energy. You run out, you know, you're trying to focus your energies into where you feel, you know, the demand is, let's say. So in answer to your question, I would say networking is really important when you're starting out, and stay at it for as long as you can. But I suppose we just don't do as much of it now as we used to. Just on the local thing. And it's really a pertinent thing for our industry, because craft beer and the concept of craft beer is all about local. You know, yeah. In the United States, where craft beer has a 30% market penetration, unlike here where it's 2%, in the United States, no matter where you travel in the States, there's going to be the local brewery. There could be a few local breweries, and all the local people will drink there, unless, you know, there's a particular reason why, you know, there's a problem. But by and large, they will all go, they'll support their local brewery. There'll normally be food, there'll be a tap room, etc. So that local idea is something that's very much intertwined with the whole craft beer market. But it was really during COVID that I think that message came out louder to consumers. And obviously we were shouting about it. But we really noticed it during COVID that people were trying really hard. Even we have an online shop. So at hopebeer.ie, although you can't buy beer, you can buy great glasses and t-shirts, hats, lots of cool merchandise. People were buying stuff on the shop, supporting us in that way, as well as going down to the local off license and buying the beers. But I think that that local brewery, you know, supported by the local community, that's a really important aspect of our business. And, you know, our brand, certainly in North County Dublin, our brand would be very, very strong. Now, on the south side, on the other hand, lots of people, I'm sure, have read the narrative of us. And outside Dublin is even patchier. But in our own backyard, which is North Dublin, you know, we enjoy huge support and we're extremely grateful for that. You know, we certainly don't take it for granted.
Yes. And, you know, towards the end of last year and even continually, both Local Enterprise Office and Enterprise Ireland were driving that message home. Look for local. What's local to you? And interestingly, the first time I came across Hope Beer, my husband used to work in PayPal and he arrived home with a box of three bottles. And he was so proud. He said, look what I got here today. This is brewed in Dublin. And yeah, it actually sat on our hearth. It was around Christmas time. So it sat on the hearth. He was waiting for the special night when he'd open it up in the fridge the day before. But the main thing was, it was cool, it was local, it was craft beer, it was different, and it does make a difference. You love to support local, and I'm delighted that, you know, it is a brand that's recognised and known in North Dublin, and certainly, yeah, we want to get it out. We want the whole of Ireland to know about it.
The other thing that we also noticed, and it's worth saying, is we are all Northsiders. So I'm from Malahide and born and reared. Des is from Port Marnock, born and reared. And I know Wim is a Dutchman. He was actually born in the Rotunda, but that's another story. But because we're all from this area, when we started, it was easier for us to call on, for example, local pubs who, you know, where we were known, or local off licenses where we were known. So for people starting out, don't look too far away from your own backyard. You know, there might be a local community that are perfect customers for your product or your service, you know, and then at least you're tapping into those existing relationships, because at the end of the day, you know, business is just, it's about relationships. And if you have good, strong local relationships, it's a pretty good place to start.
Exactly. And you have that commonality of being from the same area. Yeah. People buy people, and people, you know, that there's the know, like, and trust factor and having something in common. And it's interesting when we were talking about networking, and I think a lot of people think, oh God, networking, walking into a room of people I don't know. But actually, you have an existing network all around you, or it's very easy to tap into that, walking into your local shop and getting to know the manager and driving it home that way. There's millions of ways to network and do it well. And yeah, as you say, your own backyard is the best way to start. So Jean, moving on to distributors, how did you go about identifying distributors for Hope Beer at the start? And I know you mentioned that that wasn't something perhaps you focused on, but how have you gone about growing that distributor base? And I think when I say distributor, I mean your retailers, your off licenses, your restaurants, etc. How did you go about figuring out, okay, who are the best people who are most likely to buy this, and how can we grow this?
When we started, it was really about getting beer out there. So we didn't go at it extremely strategically. It was using existing contacts. So our first pub customers and our first retail customers were all within a mile or 2 mile radius of the brewery. So we tapped into just existing relationships and contacts and local contacts in the beginning. We did look for a distributor because obviously we were very small. I mean, there's only four of us really when we started. And, you know, we were doing our own deliveries, very often out of the back of the car kind of thing. So we did need a distributor and we started to look for a distributor, but we couldn't find one that was prepared to take us on. When we started, there were a lot of craft beer brands that were out there and that were starting. And there weren't that many distributors. Those that were there, their sheet was full. They didn't need another Irish craft beer. So we actually couldn't find anybody who was prepared to take us on in the beginning. We were then approached by a company called Cassidy Wines. And Cassidy Wines, as the name suggests, is a big wine distribution company. And they were starting a new kind of specialist drinks portfolio within Cassidy Wines. And they wanted a craft beer and they wanted us. So we said, fine, off we went with them. But ultimately, they were a wine business. And, you know, they maybe didn't have the expertise or they didn't have the desire, you know, to sell our product. So although Cassidy Wines is a fine company, it wasn't actually a very good fit with our beer and our brand. So that never really bore fruit. And in fact, if anything, our lack of distributor has held back the growth in the business in this country. However, late last year, we were approached by Northeast, and Northeast is a 25-year-old family-run company here, a drinks company, and they'd be best known for selling Erdinger. So any Erdinger products that you see in Ireland are being distributed by Northeast. They approached us. They wanted to take on our product. And already 6 months later, it's amazing the difference it's made. Before Northeast, we hadn't sold one beer in Northern Ireland. Now I think they have about 30 outlets on the books. That's already made a massive difference, particularly outside Dublin, down in the west, down in the south. You know, our beer is now being sold further afield. We just couldn't do that, obviously. We couldn't be sending a van with three cases of beer down to Wexford or to Limerick. So having Northeast on board now is making a really big difference. And it allows us to concentrate on our knitting, which is North County Dublin. So we have kept a certain number of accounts that are dear to our heart and are important and expect to see us coming in the door. And then Northeast have taken on the rest of our accounts. So we're really excited about that. To be honest, that's going to make a really big difference to our business.
And I can't wait to see it when I go off on my staycation later this year. It's lovely to see something from home and yes. See it on the other side of the country. Yes. And I suppose as well, it's that extra piece to your team, isn't it? These are almost the sales guys. Let them go off, find the leads, use their network, etc. Brilliant. Yes. I'm delighted to hear that, Jean. So I suppose the last question, and I know you touched on some of this, but this time you can only pick one thing. If you could go back in time and change one thing you did in those early days when starting the business, what would it be?
Well, I know you're only looking for one thing. I actually have a few things.
Okay, go on then.
Well, I'm saying the few things because I'm hoping that it might help somebody. Mm-hmm. So I've already said that we never should have done the 30 PCL bottle.
Number one.
I think I've already said we should have come sooner with cans. And we should have. But mm-hmm. anyway, you know, we should have bought our canning line sooner. So we invested in our own canning line last year. It's a pity we didn't have it at the beginning last year. You know, nobody knew what was going to happen with COVID. So, okay, we leave that to one side. I wish we had to put more focus on exports sooner because our exports are now beginning to really take off. And I'm really excited about that, about France in particular. And I think we're going to really have fantastic sales in some export markets over the next year or so. However, here's the one thing, and you're going to laugh when you hear this. When we started, we're all friends. Myself and Dim are married. We never defined our roles. You know, we never actually put out the structure of the business and defined the roles and the scope of the roles and how reports would be compiled and how we would actually manage the business. And it seems like a kind of a small thing, but, you know, we should have paid more attention to that at the start. I think, though, when you start a new business, it's a bit like, you know, when you think you're going to have children, you don't really think about it rationally. You kind of say, you know, it's like a feeling. I think a business is a bit like that. And very often a business is like a child as well, because it mm-hmm. needs so much care and attention and you can't let it out of your sight for a minute. And you have to grow and develop it the way you would. It's a very similar kind of mindset. Yeah. So I think when you start in a business, you're probably not thinking about the gory details. You're just thinking, come on, let's get going. You know, we have a product, we have a plan, off we go. But that is something that I think would be very valuable to businesses starting out. Define your roles. Who is doing what? How are they reporting? And how does the whole thing fit together? So I think that's maybe one thing that I would change if we were starting again.
That is a really good tip, because even if somebody is starting out on their own, if they feel like they have to do absolutely everything and be responsible for everything, but if you have it defined to say, well, this is what I do, this is what I give to an outsourced company or whatever it is,
yes.
And I just manage that relationship and that's it. Already it feels that your head isn't as cluttered or as clouded.
Well, that's the thing. You can't. I mean, there are many unbelievably talented. I mean, I see some of the young people starting up businesses now and building brands. I mean, the talent in this country is just amazing. Blows me away all the time. But even the most talented person cannot be all things to all men. They cannot wear all the hats. Somebody is going to have to help if you're going to build a business. I mean, lots of businesses stay one-man bands, you know, and when I think of the service sector, I think a lot of small businesses fall into that kind of category. Mm-hmm. But anyone who's really interested in building up something like what we have a small business, but it's a substantial small business, if you like, you can't do everything. You've got to sit down and say, well, what am I good at? You know, what are my strengths? what am I going to be in charge of and where are the gaps? Because if I already know that I hate balance sheets and I hate, you know, payments and all that, well, okay, that's fine. But then I need help with it and I better find help soon. If production is not my thing and if I don't understand anything about ingredients or whatever, you know, then I need to find somebody. I need to get a kitchen that I can outsource production or whatever the case is and fill those gaps that way. But I think that role definition piece, it's just such an underrated little thing, I feel. And I think it could make a lot of difference to the businesses as they develop.
Jean, I have to say I've recorded quite a few of these and that's the first time that's come up. And I'm delighted that it's something different and something new, but something, as you said, that's so important.
Yeah.
But I think throughout this interview, Jean, you've just demonstrated from the roots up, from that little seed, from acorns come great things, mm-hmm. great oaks. And certainly the case in Hope Beer, we're so proud to have you in Fingal. It's great to have that local brewery, that local feel right here in the heart of our county. So thank you for joining me today, Jean Mahoney, Hope Beer.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast episode brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Fingal. For more information and to keep up to date with our services, check out www.localenterprise.ie/Fingal and sign up to our newsletter.